So it's good to be with you all. Again, it's mixed feelings, right? I wish I didn't have to be here, but I'm glad to be here. It's interesting you said that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. This will not be part of my message today, but maybe next time. I can tell you that He also owns the planes in a thousand hangars. And I'll just drop that there so you can scratch your head on that one. And then if I get a chance, I'll share that with you some other time. Pastor Jeff sent me a message and asked if I would come again. And again, always happy to be able to do that, which tells me you all haven't revolted and said, never invite him back. Or you've been afraid to. I don't know. In a texting back and forth, I'm going to read just a short segment here because I want you to understand what I was reading and how it hit me. And it said, Anna has been living in foster cases as a missionary. It's been very hard, and she is in a foster home hostile to the gospel and to Anna. Even so, Anna has led her foster sister, 12 years old, and her skill coach to Christ. And you know what hit me when I read that? I mean, just immediately, bam, it hit me. Joseph. His brothers sold him into captivity, where he went through lots of stuff, including time in jail. And yet, what happened? God showed him favor, gave him favor with his captors. He ended up being a leader and saving an entire nation and his whole family. So in the midst of this, I just see, wow! First of all, fantastic job, mom and dad, for raising a daughter that in the midst of that type of captivity is using it to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow! Man, if that doesn't encourage you, go get a cup of coffee. I mean, because that is truly amazing. That is fantastic. And that should encourage us that whatever we're facing, whatever we're dealing with, we just need to keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our focus on our faith, and share it with others, and stand back and watch what God does with it. Because He's all about His honor and His glory. So today, we're going to do maybe a bit of a word study, kind of, sort of. I would be very surprised if any of this is really any new to any of you, but maybe it's presented in a way that's a little different where, number one, it blesses you, and hopefully, number two, maybe it'll help you then to share what you believe with others. Okay? So Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this opportunity to present this word that I believe that You've given to me. I pray that I would decrease, that You might increase. I pray that the words that I speak would be Yours and not mine. And I pray that those that are here would hear Your message for them this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, you might not be able to see it, but I'll try to write some stuff a little bit bigger. And then I'll have something for you at the end. But we're going to start in Ephesians. But before we do that, I'm going to cover the two words that we're going to go over today. And the first word is grace. Okay? Grace. The second word we're going to talk about is mercy. Okay? Now you say, well, why is he writing one direction and one the other? How many of you ever heard of an acrostic? You know what an acrostic is? Okay, there's some people here that know what an acrostic is. An acrostic is basically where you have a word and each letter of that word, you can have a word that helps define the overall word. So in this case, grace, God's redemption at Christ's expense. God's redemption at Christ's expense. Okay? That kind of helps define what it is. These two words so often are used interchangeably. They are not the same word. They are forever connected, and you'll see that, but they're not the same word. So, grace, God's redemption at Christ's expense. Grace, well, let me do mercy first, because I like to start with mercy, then go to grace. Mercy is when you don't get something you do deserve. Okay? So mercy is, I was driving 170 miles an hour down the interstate, the state trooper pulled me over, and he gave me a warning. That's mercy. I didn't get what I deserved. I deserved a big old ticket. Probably deserved to be, I didn't actually get pulled over doing 170. I'm just using this as an example. Not that I haven't done 170 on a motorcycle, but that's not the point of this. The point is, so mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Okay, now let's go back to grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. See? The words are very different, and yet they're interconnected. That makes sense? So mercy is not getting what I do deserve, and grace is getting what I do not deserve. Okay. Simple example of that. Mercy is I don't go to hell. Grace is I go to heaven. Does that make sense now? How those words are very different, yet they're connected? So let's take a look in the Scriptures. And we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 2. And this morning I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I don't stick to one translation ever. When I'm studying, I read, and then what more often I do when I'm really digging into and studying things is I'll actually look up a literal translation. If I'm in the Old Testament, it's Hebrew. If it's the New Testament, it's Greek. And the crazy thing about that is the grammar makes no sense whatsoever, which is why I don't preach from it. But it's helpful to understand, and then you can begin to understand the thoughts. So there are translations out there that are word-for-word translations, and then there are translations like the New Living Translation, which is thought-for-thought. Okay, you can look these verses up in any translation you want. I recommend translations over paraphrases, but you can look them up in any translations. And you'll get the same message, but I want to read from the New Living today. I like the flow of it, and I think it helps with what we're covering today. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. I think it's important for us to remember that. If we remember that, sure helps us with that whole judgmental thing, doesn't it? If we remember, oh yeah, we're just like everyone else. And it's just like everyone else that you come in contact with. But God is so rich in mercy. Okay, and what is mercy? Not getting what we deserve. Okay? So God is so rich in not giving us what we deserve. And He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace, it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. So it's only by God's giving you what you don't deserve. He gave us Christ. Did we deserve Christ? Nope. Did we earn Christ? Nope. It was God's grace giving us what we don't deserve. Now, you can ask my son. One of these days, hopefully my wife and daughter can join us, but again, they're leading worship, and we miss enough Sundays between travel gymnastics and travel hockey that we try to minimize the time that she's away from church. But you can ask, it's funny. If you ever get to meet my wife, you're ever around her, watch the look on her face. If anyone in my presence says, "Well, I deserve this," or "I deserve that," the look on my wife's face is, "Oh no. They said it in front of him. Here he goes." What? My son just said, "You've lit the fuse." Yes. We live in such an entitled society where people, "Well, I deserve more money. I deserve a pay raise. I deserve to flip burgers at McDonald's for $50 an hour." By the way, there is a state that they're actually contemplating making $50 an hour the minimum wage. You want to guess what that's going to do for the economy in that state? Going to tank it. But it comes from people saying, "Well, I deserve a living wage." No, you don't. You have the opportunity to make a living wage by getting off your behind and going to work and working hard. It's not about deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. What did we just read? By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. That's what I deserve. Just like everyone else. I deserve His anger. I don't want His anger. I really, really don't want His anger. Do a little reading in the Old Testament about God's anger and see what He's capable of. I don't want God's anger. It is only by God's grace, getting what I don't deserve, that I've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So let's back up. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His giving us what we don't deserve. We are united with Christ so that God can point to us as examples of giving us what we don't deserve. That's me. I'm that guy. I have an incredible wife. Absolutely beautiful. Stunningly beautiful. Incredible voice. The worship director at our church, the children's education director at our church? Do I walk around going, look what I snagged. I deserved this. Nope. Nope. God's grace. I have a teenager. So weird to say that. So weird to say that in my house. I think I'm going to just about get used to saying teenager about the time he turns 14, which happens in June. God has gifted him amazingly. He's incredibly intelligent. He reads a book. You can come to him 5 years after he's read the book. You can ask him about a passage in the book. He will, in his brain, tell you what page it was, where it was in the page. Right, left, halfway down, three-quarters of the way down. It just, it's there. It's there forever. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. He's the most limber kid I've ever seen in my entire life. You've heard of double-jointed? It's actually, that's not a thing. It's hyperextension. The joints hyperextend. You'll see people that have a joint or two that is hyperextension. Every single one of his joints are hyperextension joints. Every single one of them. What does that matter? He's the most amazing hockey goalie you've ever seen. It blows people's minds the kind of saves that he makes, because he can bend and fold and twist and do things that other people cringe when they see. He's actually had teammates that got nauseous at times watching him stretch. Because what if he stretches like the whole rest of the team, he's not actually stretching. He has to go above and beyond. I'm bragging. I'm not prideful because of anything I did. God gave me what I didn't deserve. I have a daughter who is 10. She'll be 11, also in June. She is a junior Olympian. She's doing incredible things. Watch what that kid does on the bars and on the floor and on the... She walks across a balance beam like I'm walking across this floor. Just like, oh, it's no big deal. Walk down the beam. Oh, you want me to do a cartwheel on the beam? Okay, no problem. It's insane. Both of my kids love Jesus and they love sharing Jesus with their friends. God's grace. He's given me what I don't deserve. How many want grace in your life? Yeah, absolutely. How many are thankful for mercy in your life? That's right. God saved you by His grace when you believed. We're at verse 8. God saved you by His giving you what you don't deserve when you believed. See, when you believed, He gave you what you didn't deserve. Want more grace? Believe more. Want more grace? Believe more. Isn't that what it says? God saved you by His grace when you believed. Want grace? Believe Him. That's pretty cool. And you can't take credit for this. Hello! That's why it drives me crazy when people say, I deserve. Because somehow they've done it. Wrong answer. You can't, let's back up. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Can't take credit for you. People bragging about how righteous they are and how, you know, sin-free they live. I know nobody in this congregation does that. I'm just saying I've experienced that out, you know, in the world of Christians. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Remember that. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between the joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Guess what? Didn't we just read in the previous passage about our desires? And then it says the Word of God cuts through that and exposes your innermost thoughts, your heart's desires. Can't hide them. Can't hide them from God. Thoughts that go through your head, God already knows. I remember as a young kid, you know, as a believer in the Lord, I would get angry about things, but don't act like you're angry about things. As if God didn't know I was angry. Thoughts of being disrespectful to parents. Oh, hide that from God. Nope. Can't be hidden. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everybody say nothing. Nothing is hidden from God. Nothing. Anybody that make you a little bit nervous? Well, if nothing's hidden, boy, do I want mercy and grace. I don't want what I do deserve, but I do want what I don't deserve. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. I love that. Abundantly clear. He is the one to whom we are accountable. We're not accountable to the local sheriff. We're not accountable to the judges. We're not accountable to the governor. We're not accountable to Congress, Senate. We're not accountable. Why is that important? Well, we've got kind of a crazy screwed up government right now. Things are a little jacked up. Christians are being persecuted in this nation like they've never been before. If you don't believe me, ask this couple right here. Christians are being persecuted. We're not accountable to the government. We're accountable to God. So I'm going to do what God's Word says. I'm going to preach what God's Word says because I'm accountable to God, not anybody else. God alone am I accountable to. Verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly before the throne of our gracious God. Our gracious God. Our God who is full of grace. Our God who is full of giving us what we don't deserve. There we will receive His mercy There we will receive His mercy, not getting what we do deserve. And we will find grace to help us when we need it most. We will find grace, getting what we don't deserve. We'll find that when we need it most. How many of you have ever dwelt upon the words grace and mercy like this before? Like I said, I didn't expect this to be completely new to people. I didn't. But I just wanted us to take the time and think on these two words and what they mean and what they mean in our faith walk. Sometimes we've got to go back and review some of the basics. Kind of sturdy up our foundation a little. Now, I set up grace and mercy, right? Where are grace and mercy found? In the cross. In the work that Christ did for us. Why? Because we couldn't earn it. Because we were just like everyone else. And look right there in the middle. See that letter R? The cross, we find the redeeming work of Jesus. He has redeemed us. He paid the price. He paid the ransom. So we need to come to the cross and repent. He did the work of redemption. We have to repent. Why? Because we are like everyone else. In our flesh, in who we are, our desires is to do what our flesh wants. And does our flesh do the will of God? No. The Apostle Paul said, I do the things I don't want to do. And the things I do want to do, I don't do. Why? Because his flesh got in the way. So Jesus has done the work of redemption. We repent. And we get to receive the reward. The reward of what? God's grace and mercy. The reward of not having to go to hell. The reward of getting to go to heaven. God's mercy. I don't get what I deserve. I deserve to go to hell. I do get what I don't deserve. I get to go to heaven. All found in the cross. Grace and mercy. Christ's work of redemption. We repent. We receive the reward. And since I have been given grace and mercy, why would I not want to share that with others? Why would I not want to share that with others? When we grasp this grace and mercy at work in our lives, it causes a young lady that's trapped up in our legal system to share grace and mercy with the people around her that are being hostile toward her. Awesome. How many of you think that this model could help you share what you believe with others? I think it's a pretty cool way of doing that. I've never seen it before. God gave that to me as I was preparing for hockey church. Middle of the night. I was like, wow, that's really cool. See, I'm not this smart to come up with this. God showed it to me. So, for you today, I will close in prayer.